Hi, this is Farley Malaris, and thanks for visiting our website, radioastrology.com. A small favor, if you could press the donation button, give it a click, and give us $5, $10, $15, $25, even $2 or $3, anything, to help support the server, the bandwidth, and to enable us to put maybe hundreds of more topics and podcasts on the server. Have a wonderful day. I love you a lot, and thanks for visiting. Come back soon.
Of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, thanks to Van Halen for Jump. And we're going to focus on a very powerful planet today. I'm going to call this a more deeper, more intense, more surgical analysis to really get to the heart of a person's life, the planet Mars. And Mars is a planet we like to look at when we think about things like life, health, drive, motivation, ambition, also yang factor, factors concerning sex, physical energies, and overall life expression. So very, very powerful topic, and the planet Mars, I feel, is one of the most, if not the most important planet. Because when I want to know where someone's coming from, I want to know what their war factor is, that planet Mars. Isn't that funny that a lot of astrologers, including myself, if they want to understand women and why they choose the men they choose and why they have a temperament or a emotionalism or an arrogance about them the way they do, or why they're either too slow or too fast or hard to keep up with, or you pass them by in the night. We looked at that planet Mars to really zero in on a person's yang nature. I say it's impossible to get involved in a relationship with anyone unless you know their yang. Now, I'm lucky because, I don't know if it's lucky or not, I have my Mars in a yang sign of Libra, masculine sign. So when you have Mars, which is a yang planet, in a yang sign, then that makes you like a yang-yang type person, which means for a man, that's pretty good balance. You know, a lot of the men out there that have Mars in Virgo, which is a yin sign, we find a very, very high frequency of men that are bisexual and homosexual with Mars in yin Virgo for that reason, because you take all that yang energy and put it into feminine yin Virgo, and it creates a tremendous open mind. So we can find out a whole lot of things about anyone's persona by zeroing in on that power planet in the horoscope, Mars. Now, for you beginners out there, in case you know nothing about what I'm speaking of, let's just suffice it to say that when you're born, when you come out of the womb, when you inhale your first breath of life, what happens is your body is literally powerfully charged by the universe at that moment, that magical moment, where you open your eyes, you start breathing, your digestive tract begins to work normal, and you get into an experience, an energy experience at that moment that kind of sticks to your cosmic structure, your DNA structure in your cells, charges your brain, and this is what we call the astrological effect. You see, the reason why astrology, for some reason, is not as widely accepted as it could be is because too many people focus on the meaning of the sun sign only. But in planetary astrology, chart astrology, where we like to look at all the planets, we find out so much more by zeroing in on each and every individual planet, depending where it is located at birth, to really surgically analyze a person's character and karma. Now, I will tell you one thing. Just because you're a Capricorn does not mean you have Mars in Capricorn, because Mars can be in any one of the 12 signs like the other planets. The only planets actually, well, there's a good chance they may be in the same sign as your sun, would be Mercury and Venus, because they don't wander that far from the sun sign. But all the other planets, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, well, they could be in any sign. So that's why the purpose of this show, I think, partially, is to open up your mind and to put you into a situation where you are able to embrace all 12 signs of the zodiac with mutual respect. And for that reason, if you find out you got some Gemini in your chart, or some Virgo, or some Pisces, or some Capricorn, Well, that's part of your structure. That's part of your nature. In fact, all of us are injected with the entire universe at birth. And there's a focus on the zodiacal belt, the ecliptic, that surrounds the Earth and the galaxy, the plane of the ecliptic, actually, the rim of the galaxy, because this is where the planets travel. This is where we plot them in a navigational sense. This is where we chart their movement, you see. So not only are you injected by the entire universe as a magnificent eternal sphere, that is, actually, depending what signs your planets are located in, would put a significance or an emphasis on that particular energy. But in astrology, we always refer to the 12 houses of life, each of one having 12 charges to your personal chart, 12 individual vibrations to your personal astrological energy. And those 12 charges basically are the 12 signs of the zodiac. So in effect, the oneness that we all share, the oneness of God that we all are, is symbolized, paralleled, in the oneness that we all embrace by sharing the 12 signs of the zodiac. Where the uniqueness comes in, where the individuality, where the separation comes in, is actually designed by where the planets are individually in those signs, because there's never ever the same planetary location throughout millions of years. You won't find two charts that are the same unless they are from one microsecond to the next. For example, the chart that exists right now, this second, and the next second, you know. So obviously, if you're born at a certain time and you know someone else that was born same day, same city, same time, they'll have the same chart as you. Well, that's somebody you want to get to know and find out what's going on. But anyway, in today's topic, we are zeroing in on one specific planet, the planet of life, the planet of drive, the planet of sex, the planet of war, and the planet of motivation, which is Mars, you know, which is a very, very powerful planet, the yang planet, whereas Venus is the feminine or the yin, Mars is the yang, and also is ruled by the yang sign of Aries, which actually, no matter where you look at Mars, you always combine an Aries vibration to whatever sign it's in, and Aries being the sign of the child, childhood, early environment, the self, identity, personality, character, energy, aggression, love, and its more childlike nature, and Aries being also the sign of war, of hostility, of emotional aggression. And we do find that understanding anyone's Mars, and you know, because this particular show is a little advanced, and that's why I tell you record this show, because it's a classic. So taking a look at a planet like Mars, for example, let's say that I meet someone and I want to know about them, then by looking at their Mars, I could zero in on several major elements of their character, of their identity, because by looking at the planet Mars, we find out so many things. We find out things about early environment. We actually are introduced to the child within us all that you probably heard about, psychologically speaking. We also find out about a person's emotional level of balance, if any, their temperament, if there's anything about them that's hostile, or if there's anything about them that is warlike or aggressive. We find out whether they are more mental, physical, or emotional. We find out more about their yin-yang nature. And oftentimes, the funny thing about women, when you look at the planet Mars, heterosexual women, and you want to zero in on the types of men that they are most attracted to, would you believe that most women, astrologically, I'd say 98%, go after the type of man that would remind them the most of their own Martian nature, of their own yang nature, as dictated by the planet Mars. So in many ways, what women go after, what they're attracted to, what they're sometimes suckered into, magnetized towards, is the type of man that they think they would be like if they were a man. Isn't that funny? I know this sounds crazy, but when you analyze the planet Venus in a man's chart, a heterosexual man, then what you're zeroing in on is actually the kind of woman that they would want to be if they were a woman, because that's the yin nature. Now, obviously, if you're a gay man, then like heterosexual women, you would want to focus and analyze your Mars to zero in on the type of men you would like, and vice versa with a gay woman. A gay woman would want to zero in on her Venus to zero in on the type of women she would like. But let's go back to the regular Martian energy as far as zeroing in on early upbringing and childhood environment and temperament and such. First of all, we find out a couple things. The first thing we want to do when we're looking at Mars is we want to score the yin-yang energies. So yin-yang equals, this is the formula, the yin-yang score would be the sign the planet Mars is in plus the house. So the planet, forgetting it's Mars for a second, you can get a yin-yang score from any planet by first taking the planet that you're speaking of. We're speaking of Mars, so that gets a yang score right off the bat. The sign that Mars is in, that would be yin-yang, depending on what sign we're talking about, and the house that Mars is in, and I'll give you a yin-yang score in the house, too. First of all, to find yin-yang scores, our masculine and feminine energies, what we do is we start with Aries in order, and following through in order, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Aries gets a plus, Taurus a minus, Gemini's a plus, Cancer's a minus, Leo's a plus, Virgo's a minus, plus being yang and minus being yin, of course. Libra's a plus, Scorpio's a minus, Sagittarius is a plus, Capricorn's a minus, Aquarius a plus, and Pisces a minus. So there you have your yin-yang assortment right there. Now, as far as the houses go, house 1 through 12. House 1 is plus, and house 2 is minus. That's yin-yang. So it goes yin-yang, yin-yang, all the way down the line like that. House 3 would be a plus, house 4 a minus, house 5 a plus, house 6 a minus. Now, obviously, if you are in a situation where you have met someone and you're looking at their planet Mars, and they have Mars already being a yang planet, and they have Mars in Aries, and it's also in the first house. Well, this might be one of those people, especially if it's a female, that could be a little difficult to keep up with because they're so busy. There's so much yang energy. There's so much driving force. You know, we call that Aries charge a very, very driving force, a very, very active, very, very busy force. In comparison to, say, let's say a person has Mars, which is a yang energy, and it's in Pisces, which is a yin, and it's in the 12th house because they're Aries rising, which is a double yin. So that Mars in Pisces 12th house would be a yang, yin, yin, Mars in comparison to the person with Mars and Aries in the first house. That's triple yang. So obviously, the person with the 12th house Mars in Pisces is going to probably be a lot more mellower, a lot more sensitive, a lot more emotional needs, a lot more time to smell the roses, and a lot less activity, more emotional activity and less physical activity. See, the more yang you get, the more physical activity you need, like working out, like working, like activities, and the more yin you get, the more emotional and mental you are, and the less physical activities. You get my point here? So we can find out a lot about deeper things here. So obviously, this child, this baby with Mars and Aries in the first house, the yang, 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 the triple yang, we're talking about one busy childhood here with probably busy parents and busy environment. Obviously, from an environmental standpoint, create one heck of a busy lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? Let's say the person has Mars, the yang planet, in Cancer, which is a yin sign, in the fourth house, double yin. So we got yang, yin, yin again. Well, this person obviously is going to want to maybe spend a lot of time at home, in a romantic state or in an emotional state with loving people surrounding them, and in adverse to the person who has to keep going, stay busy, work out, stay fit, stay active, this person with yang Mars and yin Cancer, yin fourth house, is going to probably be more content hanging out, cuddling, watching TV, and just being romantic and passionate. Let's check out Farley here. I'm curious about this guy. He's got Mars, which is the yang planet, in Libra, which is a yang sign, in the 12th house, which is the yin house. So Farley is a yang, yang, yin, which means I have my moments of heavy activity, mental activity, a lot of it because it's Libra, physical activity until I get burned out because also it's Libra again. But because it's in the 12th house, a strong yin house, a lot of my drive, a lot of my motivation, and a lot of my energy is dedicated to spiritual, emotional things. You see, so I'm one of those people that is very busy but does recognize a need to kick back and relax and mellow out once in a while. So being a person that has at least a score of one yin in my Mars, then I would need a woman that would have to have some yin to complement that. I actually prefer women, frankly, just to let you know, in case you wondered, with more of a yin score in their Mars, because I like the softness and the emotionalism and the need to mellow out, kick back, and sometimes just do nothing, but just kind of be, you know, sort of people. The yang, I have plenty of yang in my own chart. So for some reason, whenever I've gotten involved with women with too much yang in their Mars, which would be, frankly, I get along much better with the yin Mars women, would be Mars in Taurus, Mars in Cancer, Mars in Virgo, somebody I married, Mars in Scorpio, Mars in Capricorn, Mars in Pisces. Have trouble keeping up with Mars in Aries, Mars in Gemini, sometimes also very busy, Mars in Leo, dominant for me, another Mars in Libra, well, too much yang for me, Mars in Sag, too independent, Mars in Aquarius, I oftentimes also feel too busy and too active. So I prefer the yin Marses myself. Now, also, some other things we want to look at when it comes to Mars is how it's aspected. And, you know, the aspect part of astrology, I think, is one of the more important parts of astrology, if not the most. And basically, to really get down into the nitty-gritty of what a person is like emotionally, what their temperament is like, I want to tell you, I want to give you a formula here. Frankly, I have found that people with oppositions on their Mars oftentimes have been warriors in past lives, and usually in this lifetime, they either have to deal with anger from themselves, from within themselves, or because it's an opposition, they have to deal with associating with other people that are in fact angry themselves. So we do find that women and men with Mars oppositions end up being fighters, sometimes physical fighters, fist fighters, and women with Mars oppositions also sometimes the same. So we do find oftentimes, not all the time, but a high level of temperament here, of anger, of irritability, and of people that sometimes need high swings of emotionalism in order to be normal in their lives. Now, people with squares on their Mars usually kind of live with a lot of stress in the childhood, a lot of emotionalism, a lot of intensity, a lot of nervousness and irritability, not always anger. It's more like fear. So women and men that have squares in their Mars would have fear, and oppositions on their Mars may have the aggression added to it. Now, you will find those individuals, those few individuals out there that have what we call a blessed Mars, unafflicted, no afflictions. And I actually had the delight in being able to date one of these people once. She had a grand trine in her Mars, actually, in Capricorn, and it's true. She was very easygoing. We never had outspoken argument where we fought or yelled at each other. And she actually makes a very good wife for the man she's married to today. And we do find that a lot of these women do get married early. What we do find out is a lot of women that have blessed Mars do end up with long-lasting relationships or not being able to make up their mind, being charismatic and attracting a lot of men, which gives them a power. One wonders if they know what to do with it. Same with men. If men have unafflicted Marses, we find a much more mellow temperament, a much more balanced attitude, a much more positive framework mentally. And frankly, men with stress on their Mars will have more fear, and opposition on their Mars could have anger and hatred as part of their nature. Not guaranteed, but it's possible. Sometimes it comes out later in life, explodes. And we do find that a lot of the men with blessed Mars, totally unafflicted, are a lot better in relationships as far as getting along and keeping a peace. And even though my Mars is hidden in the 12th house, I'm glad that I don't have any squares or oppositions on it. So I've had a good track record as far as having some strong relationships, many of them lasting for years, and I like that. You know, if I died tomorrow, I'd have to say that I was content with what I experienced in my life and relationships. So I like them peaceful, loving, and happy for that reason. Now, when you're looking at someone's Mars, if you see that you are a woman, for example, and you got a triple yang Mars, let's say Mars in Leo, Mars in the first house, and it's already yang from being Mars as it is, And you have a square to it from Saturn and an opposition to it from Uranus, or maybe Jupiter, and a trine to it from Pluto. And obviously, when we take a look at a planet that has a lot of hard aspects on it, like squares and oppositions, we're talking karma, because what we're talking about is women that have a pattern of going after men that they think are a lot like the way they would be if they were men. But you can't tell a book by its cover, and oftentimes, even if you take time to get to know them, you still can't tell a book until you finish it. So what we have is we have a lot of people tempted by what they think they would be like on the outside, but with squares and oppositions on a woman's Mars, frankly, oftentimes we're talking about some women that are happily married, or at least have patience and staying power, but many women that are very nomadic in nature, sort of wanderers, are hard to stay down in a commitment because of the tremendous energy that is associated with the Mars that is afflicted with squares and oppositions. Now, I have known some women that have heavily afflicted Mars in their chart that are some of the most wonderful women in the world. And basically, the reason why they are is because of the mistakes they've made. They've gotten involved with such tragic men and gotten nuked so bad, and now they can recognize bad relationships and for that reason avoid some of the patterns and cycles that they can go through, you see. So in the long run, especially when a woman hits her 30s and 40s, we find that they're a lot better off than they were when they were younger and naive and, I guess, once bitten, twice shy by the certain cycle of individual they might go after. See, a woman with squares and oppositions on her Mars, double or triple yang, may go after a real strong, macho, tough, good-looking, attractive man that could thrash their brains against the wall. So oftentimes, we do find that no matter how your Mars is aspected, specifically, we do zero in on the fact that there is a lot of potential to be in a very, very powerful situation as far as being a good person, you know, as far as being somebody who could have a decent relationship. Another thing we want to understand in a final addition here for understanding the planet Mars, as far as this topic is concerned, would have a lot to do with the transits and how they affect your Mars. Now, obviously, no matter how your Mars is aspected when you're born, whether you have squares or trines or oppositions on it or whatever, what we do find out is we do find out that basically, if you're going through a trine transit to your Mars, like Jupiter, or Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, one of those slow-moving planets out there is trine your Mars, this could bring an emotional balance to your life, you know, where you might have been a bitch or a lunatic or a weirdo or have terminal PMS or have attitudes and terrible relationships in your life and people are mad at you and you're mad at yourself and all of a sudden Uranus will come around and trine your Mars for like 3 years and it like softens everything out and that's all of a sudden where it's like you're more qualified to be in a relationship. People like you more and then that Uranus will move on in 3 years and you'll go back to being a jerk again. So you have to be really careful when it comes to transits, especially long transits, like Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, because the long transits can bring you peace and normalcy and balance in your life, and that's where a lot of people get married once or twice or three or four times because they get married during those trine transits. And then again, you can take the most balanced person with the most balanced Mars, and a square or an opposition transit will hit, and bam, you can take a person that's normally very well balanced and turn them into a monster by having a long Jupiter, Saturn, or Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto. Let's say the time when you're married to someone for 15, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. Then all of a sudden they have a Uranus opposed Mars, and you wake up in the morning and you take a look at this monster staring at you, and you're like, you're not the same little girl I fell in love with. So obviously, men and women both can turn into creatures of the night when they have these long, hard aspects, squares and oppositions from the transiting planet. I'm going to try in the next 12 shows, what we're going to do is we're going to have more deeper, more advanced looks at the planets and at the astrology chart. So I'm going to try to get really, really intense with you in the next 12 shows. That's why I think you should record the shows, because they're classics, every one of them, and you're going to want to save them one day so you could listen to them.
Hi, this is Farley Malaris, and thanks for visiting our website, radioastrology.com. A small favor. If you could press the donation button, give it a click, and give us $5, $10, $15, $25, even $2 or $3, anything, to help support the server, the bandwidth, and to enable us to put maybe hundreds of more topics and podcasts on the server. Have a wonderful day. I love you a lot, and thanks for visiting. Come back soon.